May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
If you were here with us at St. Mary's last week, you would have heard Libby preach about monkeys and cucumbers and grapes and unfulfilled injustices. And if you were here, or I have no idea what I'm talking about, I would encourage you to go onto our parish website and once it's posted, to listen to her sermon. I think that's good advice any old Sunday, but I think especially for this Sunday, and perhaps in the Sundays to come, because we as a church are working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. We first heard it last week with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, the meek, the merciful, the pure of heart, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And today we hear the next part of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And next Sunday we'll hear the next part, and so on and so forth. Sometimes the church does this. They'll take in the lectionary a big chunk of scripture and break it up sequentially over several Sundays. So, what we have to say if we play our cards right might build on each other. Because the message the church wants us to hear this Sunday and last Sunday and the next Sunday, this message is somehow fundamentally related. So I'll remind us of something that Libby pointed out last Sunday when we first got into this Sermon on the Mount. She pointed out that when Jesus began to speak, he wasn't preaching to a multitude. As people were beginning to assemble and walk up the hill, when Jesus first began to speak, he was primarily talking to his core disciples who had already sat down at his feet. And so when he said, blessed are you who mourn, he might have actually been talking to a particular person who was mourning. Being aware of Jesus' audience for this Sermon on the Mount is incredibly important, especially for today. I once had a friend who loved the Sermon on the Mount. And whenever she felt sad or frustrated, she would go to this gospel text and it would just buoy her up. And I don't really know how she perceived Jesus, but I think that she thought of him as kind of like Oprah Winfrey, up here on this big mountain dispensing blessings and affirmations. And Jesus up there saying, you are the light of the world, and you are the light of the world, and you are the light of the world. Everybody is the light of the world. I don't know, she really thought that, but that was her disposition with Jesus. And when I hear this gospel, I really want to ask, is that what Jesus is saying? Is he saying to everyone, you, me, we are the light of the world? Maybe. Maybe not. Jesus' audience, the people whom he was speaking to, in some ways are very different from us. They were Galilean peasants. They were poor, certainly. And in one big difference, they were all Jews. Right? And almost assuredly, none of them were citizens of the Roman Empire. They were absolutely a people oppressed and occupied. And for Jesus to say, these people are the light of the world, the people where everyone in the world should look to them for light, that was revolutionary. Jesus did not point to the emperor in Rome, who probably very often hears that he is the light of the world. It's not the emperor. It's not the Roman Senate. It's not the wealthy oligarchs, the established families in Rome, or the merchants that ply the Mediterranean Sea all across the empire. It's not even the super righteous people down in Jerusalem, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests. They aren't the light of the world. It's these hill people around the Sea of Galilee. They are the people that reveal the favor and love of God. They're the people everyone should look towards. So then, that inspires me in a way. When I hear this gospel passage, who is Jesus asking me to look towards? Who are the lights in this world today. And I can guarantee you it's probably not the people you think. I'll give two examples. The first, about a week ago Saturday, I had the wonderful privilege of joining some of the teens from this parish at a feeding program at the Federated Church in Hyannis. It was run through the Cape Cod Council of Churches. And on Saturday morning, myself and a lot of other teenagers from a whole bunch of youth groups all around the Cape and other ministers were all sitting at tables with men and women who were struggling with homelessness and drug addiction and alcoholism. And we got to share a meal with them and drink coffee and just sort of share our stories and about who we were. And I didn't expect it, but I was bowled over. There was this one gentleman I was speaking to who, in the midst of so much strife, actually had some pretty rooted hopefulness. I could not imagine how I would be hopeful in his situation, but he was. He's like, yeah, life goes on, I'm doing well. And he actually did not know where he was going to be sleeping that night, what sort of roof was going to be over his head. But he was rock solid. And other people as well, in light of so much work that they've had to do and so many turmoils that they've been through. Believe it or not, they were a light for me. They were illuminating my journey of faith and in ways in which I can overcome hardships and face struggles and in the midst of it still have hope, unexpectedly. Example two happened just yesterday and the day before. I was out in Weston, Massachusetts, at a training for education for ministry mentors. And so if you don't know what education for ministry is, it's a program where lay people can come into a parish and read seminary level texts and learn about their faith and learn about the history and theology of the church. And they do that in a small group. And it's not just about reading. Education for ministry, EFM, is really about this small group that comes together and people share their lived theology, their own experiences of God in their lives. And I don't know if you've ever been in a small group before where everyone's sitting in a circle and they're just opening their hearts and their souls and they're sharing themselves. And it's beautiful. People begin to glow, and not just physically in their face, but metaphysically. Because what's happening in that place where people are sharing their stories and living into the Spirit, God, Christ, is coming into that room. That's what EFM is. And that's what I was experiencing 2 days ago, because this training was not just me sitting at a desk, but I was also in a small group with other people who were being trained as mentors and coordinators for EFM groups. And we were all sharing our own stories of EFM. These men and women whom I was sitting with were sharing their hopes and dreams for their own groups back at their home parishes. And watching them, I could see their faces begin to glow. And when they became inspired and illuminated, it actually did something to me. It allowed me to become inspired and illuminated and to shine forth my own light. Where I'll get back to my friend who thinks about Oprah Winfrey a lot. She might be mistaken in some ways, but she's also not wrong. Even if Jesus was primarily talking to people 2,000 years ago, the outcasts of society, he still also does speak to us today. And there is a way in which all of us have the light of Christ within us. But that's not where we can start. We can't start in that place. We can't take the scripture that says, you are the light of the world, and then go out the doors and say, I'm the light of the world. I'm the beacon illuminating everything. Because if all we can see is our own light, we're blinded. The first lesson of the gospel is that Jesus is directing us to pay attention to other people who are lights and can be lights for the world. And they're not the people whom you would expect. Could be very much the people who are often overlooked. the people who are left out so much from the centers of power and influence. They are the ones. And then, secondly, we're invited to allow those people to work on us, to break into our hearts, to inspire us so that we can then shine forth with a certain light to illuminate others. That's how the light of Christ is propagated. And that's how the kingdom of heaven is revealed. Amen. Amen.
Please stand and join me in professing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.